Mark chapter 2, if you would. I think the scriptures here in Mark chapter 2 will kind of help to, I think it kind of tells a little bit about what we're trying to do at Calvary, but also what you here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church need to be doing. I think what goes on in Mark chapter 2, it's one of my favorite stories. I mean, I heard this story. I've been in church 9 months before I was born, so I've been in church all my life. And the stories in the Bible, I've heard them. At Sunday school, I'm so thankful for Sunday school. I'm so thankful for Sunday school teachers that taught me. My dad taught me a lot. My dad didn't always teach me. My dad taught me a lot of things other ways. And so I learned a lot from my dad. My dad was a big man. My dad was a stern man. My dad was a to-the-point man. My dad was a my-way or the highway man. And I'm thankful for that. I needed that. I'm not that way. But I needed that, and so, but I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for the Word of God and the Scriptures. And here in Mark chapter 2, I want to start reading in verse 1. And it says, "Again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them." Now, I heard someone say here recently, I'm able to go to a lot of preachers' conferences and things. Matter of fact, we will go home tomorrow night. We have an Oklahoma Preachers Conference at our church, and so that's why I've got to get back for tomorrow. But I heard this statement made, you know, if you preach the word of God, you're not going to have many people come into your church. And I thought when he made that statement, I thought, now where in the world did he get that? Because Jesus was preaching the word and the house was full. So I don't think that's the problem. That's not people's problem. It's not they don't want to hear the word of God. They just don't come to church. And many times they're not at church for the very reason we're going to read right here. And that's because nobody brings them. Nobody brings them. And so he preached the word unto them. So it still works to preach the word. And I've got the King James Bible this morning. I hope that's okay. I've got a couple others in the truck if I need to change. I don't have any others in the truck, Dad. There is still a fear there. I'm telling you right now, there's still a fear there. And so, verse 2, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Now, you see the picture and you know the story. If you've been in church at all, you know this story. But let's think about it this morning. Here's a man needs to get to Jesus. He needs to get to Jesus. Jesus can make a difference in his life. I'd start to say, I don't know about you. I do know about you. If you're saved today, he made a difference in your life. March 10th, 1970, as an 8-year-old boy, I walked the aisle and got saved. And my dad was preaching, was pastoring the church there. We had a man in for revival. I don't remember anything he said there in the revival. I grew up in church. I knew what I needed to do. I knew what the Lord was speaking to me about. And I got saved as an 8-year-old boy. Made a difference in my life. Made a change in my life. So we know what he can do. We know what Jesus can do. We know how he can change lives because we know what he did in our life. But I heard Brother Jack Thompson. Do you remember Brother Thompson? Brother Thompson was preaching when my dad surrendered to preach. When my dad got right with God, surrendered to preach, and started preaching. Brother Jack Thompson was preaching in a meeting. I was preaching with him once, and he made this statement. And when he made this statement, boy, it really caught me off guard. I wasn't thinking that this is what he was going to say. He said this. He said, you know, I used to preach revivals, and they would go 3 or 4 weeks, revivals. And you never hear of that anymore. And he said, we'd have 60 or 70 people saved. And I thought, wow, you don't hear of that much anymore either. And then he said this. He said, you know why we don't have 60 or 70 people saved in our revivals anymore? And I thought, boy, this is going to be good. He's going to give me something from the Word of God that tells why. You know, because, you know, like a lot of people want to hang their hat on, well, you know, the Bible says in the last days there'll be a falling away. So people just aren't getting saved. No, here's the reason why. Brother Thompson said the reason why. He said, because nobody's bringing lost people to church. He said, years ago when we would have revivals, people would go invite people they knew were lost and bring them to church so they would get saved. And he said, nobody's bringing lost people to church anymore. And boy, that wasn't what I wanted to hear. I didn't want to hear that because, boy, I immediately was convicted. I thought, you know, it's not just everybody else a lot of times. It's us too. You know, it's easy to point fingers at everybody else, but we're not bringing lost people to church. Four men decided, we know who can help this man. And you know who can help your neighbors. And you know who can help the guy down the street. And you know who can help the kid you see in town or the people you see in town. You know who can help them. These four men said, we know where this guy can get some help. If we can get this guy to Jesus, he'll get some help. Right. Jesus can make a difference and change his life. Isn't that what missions is about? Isn't that why we're supporting missionaries? I mean, you're not supporting foreign missionaries so that they can have a better place to live in a foreign country. You're not supporting them so they can have clothes to wear while they're in a foreign country. You're supporting them in hopes and in trust that people are going to be saved and lives are going to be changed. That's why we do that. Right. But if we're not careful, we'll put all our focus on foreign missions and we'll put all our focus on home missions, but we won't do the home mission, the mission of the church, and that's to bring people to Jesus Christ. These four men decided, we need to get this guy to Jesus. Jesus can make a difference in his life. So they took it upon themselves to do that. They got this man. It couldn't have been an easy task. It could not have been a convenient task. I'm sure they had things to do. I'm sure they had responsibilities. I'm sure they had plans. But on this day, everything changed because they saw a man that needed to get to Jesus, and they focused on that job and getting the job done. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The faith of these men. See, it's going to take faith to get men to Jesus. It's going to take faith to get people to Jesus. They get to the house, they can't get in. They get this man, they get him all the way to the house, they can't get in. And I think that's where a lot of us play out so many times. We do all we can do up to a point. But when there's an obstacle, when there's a bump in the road, when things don't go exactly the way we felt like they ought to go, most of us would have set the bed down right there and said, look, brother, we got you this far. We're going to be praying for you. He didn't need their prayer. Come on. He didn't need their prayer right then. He needed inside that house. Right. He needed to get to Jesus. God bless you, brother. Isn't it amazing how we use God bless you, brother? And we really don't even understand what we're saying. It's just something we know we can say that gets us out of a situation. God bless you, brother. Well, I'll be praying for you. And you know, how many times do we say that and we walk away and we never pray for that person? Well, we use statements sometimes. This man didn't need prayer. He didn't need God bless you. And I can't believe I'm saying this. He didn't need support. He didn't need those things. He needed to get to Jesus. So these four men, and I don't know how it went down. I don't know how this all happened. I say every once in a while, I would love it when we get to heaven if there was a big movie screen there and you could go up and punch like David and Goliath and you could watch the actual thing happen. I'd love to see some of the things you see in the Bible. I would love to see it really happen. I mean, I read about it, I believe it, but I would love to see it live, just like live TV. You know, just like the true TV, the stuff that you see that's so right and so true. And like the stuff on the internet, because everything on the internet's true. And so I'm just praying that when we get to heaven, there'll be some way the Lord will let me see some of these things happen. I would have liked to have seen these guys stop at the door and think, now what are we going to do now? And I can't help but feel maybe one of them. And I, you know, I'm from Oklahoma, so I like to think maybe one of them's name was Bubba. I don't know that it was, but I like to think that. Maybe Bubba said this, hey, y'all, I got an idea. And I'm thinking the other three probably rolled their eyes and thought, oh boy, this is going to be good. You know, you got a Bubba. You know who I'm talking about. When they say they've got an idea, you're like, oh boy. Maybe Bubba said, why don't we take him up on a roof, tear a hole in the roof, and lower him down? And then I thought about this. When I was 3 years old, I stuck tweezers in an electric socket like that right there. So I have a little short in my brain, so it shorts out every once in a while when I get to thinking. And I got to thinking, wonder what the guy on the bed thought. When they said, let's just take him up on the roof, tear a hole in the roof and lower him down. I wonder what he thought. I wonder if he said, whoa, wait a minute. We're going to do what? And then I got to think, I wonder how big the guy on the bed was. Right. I mean, come on, use your imagination. Electrify yourself a little bit, okay? Use your imagination. Let's say he was 400 pounds. It would make for a good movie. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know whose idea it was. I know this, it was not an easy task. It was not an easy thing to get this man up on the roof, to tear a hole in the roof. Then I thought, I wonder what the man that owned the house thought. They just tore a hole in my roof. They lowered this man down to Jesus, and Jesus healed him and changed his life, made a difference in his life. So much so that verse 12 says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we ain't never seen nothing like this. Well, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. Jesus healed him. That's what he needed. He didn't need anything else. He didn't need any other person. He needed to get to Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's people outside your church walls, and there's people in your town, and there's people that live right down the road from you. What they need is Jesus Christ. But what they need is for us to get them to Jesus, us to bring them to Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do at Calvary with the men that come there, with the ladies that God's going to allow us to work with the couples and the families and the kids at summer camp and the retreats that we put on there. We're trying to point people to Jesus so people can find Jesus Christ. I know what he did in my life. I know the difference he made in my life. I know what he's done. I've seen what he's done. The young man that's going to pastor the church at Henrietta, the church plant, that's preaching over there this morning. The service is at 10:30, which is, it's not going to be 10:30 at home. It's only 9:15 at home right now. And so the young man that's going to preach there came to the Ranch Ministries 12 years ago in the City of Refuge program. God worked in his life. God changed his life. The first Sunday he preached there, his mom and dad drove in from Tennessee. They drove in from Tennessee to hear him preach. They came back to our church that afternoon, and his dad stood up and gave a testimony just crying and said, "My son, I was ready to write him off." He said, "I'm going to be honest with you, I was ready to bury him." And he said, "That was my intentions. I'm going to bury this boy and get him out of our life. He's such a mess." And he said, "I heard him preach this morning, and this is actually the message, the very message Brother John preached the first Sunday, about how people need to get people to Jesus and about somebody got him to Jesus. He came to the ranch. God worked in his life, changed his life." There was a family the husband pastored in a little church in Texas, and they came to camp every year. They came to everything we had. This family, great family. Well, the dad was 42 years old and dropped dead of a heart attack. And so the mom had to take care of the kids and raise them. So they eventually moved to the ranch. We had Miss Kathy there with her kids. John met her daughter, and they got married. And that's who's planting the church in Henrietta. She grew up in a church plant. She taught herself to play the piano so she could play the piano for her dad. Now she's playing the piano to church plant, and God's using them in a great way. That's what God can do if we can get people to Jesus. And made a difference in John's life, made a difference in Miss Callan's life. They have three kids now. And they're over there every Sunday. They're over there on Saturday, and they're over there on Friday afternoon, knocking doors, visiting people. They had 15 last Sunday. They had 22 the Sunday before. And we're just 1 year in the Days Inn Motel. And we're thankful for what God's doing there, because somebody got John to Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to point people to Christ. But that's what you should be trying to do. You know, it is. Missions is all about supporting missionaries. And it's all about having missionaries and being able to get Faith Promise missions going, and us giving and giving to missions and things. It's all about that. But it's also about your area and your community. And if we're not careful, because see, as I thought about this, scripture right here, I thought, you know, these guys probably just got to the point where they said, you know, somebody needs to do something. This man's on a bed. He can't get there by himself. Somebody needs to do something. We can do something. We can do something. But if we're not careful, we'll get into that point there, that place in our life where we say, well, you know, somebody ought to do something. Well, somebody ought to do something. Well, somebody ought to do something, and nothing ever gets done. How about that somebody be us? How about that somebody be us? Because you know people. You know people. And you guys know people. You've got friends that aren't in church today. I mean, you know people. You girls know people that need Jesus Christ. How about us? How about us? We can't just say, well, I'll just give the pastor their name, let the pastor visit them and see what happens. How about us? How about we do something? As I thought about that, let me give you this real quick and I'm going to close. I thought about a story I'd heard about. And so I went to search for it. And I found it on the internet, because everything on the internet's true. And so I read that somewhere. But I found this. And when I found this, there was a video clip. And I watched the video clip, and it was an old black and white video clip that showed this. And so I'll tell you, as I'm reading this, I'll tell you about watching it too. This is the way the story starts. It says, Alabama lost one of its true legends on Sunday, according to Laughlin Funeral Home. Former Crimson Tide fullback Tommy Lewis died in Huntsville Retirement Home at the age of 83. Lewis is best known for coming off the bench during the 1954 Cotton Bowl, which was long before I was born, the 1954 Cotton Bowl, to tackle Rice running back Dickie Maigle. Maigle was on his way to what was sure to be a 95-yard touchdown run when Lewis stepped off the Alabama sideline to make the tackle. Now, let me help some of you ladies. Some of you ladies are probably sitting there going, so? No, if you're not in the game, you don't participate in the game, okay? And if I'm having to help some of you men, I'm a little worried about you. If you're on the bench, you don't just jump up and participate in the game. The Rice running back was running down the sidelines, fixing to score a touchdown. Tommy Lewis is on the sideline, sitting on the bench. He sees it happening. And if you watch the video clip, you can see him get up off the bench and start running down the sidelines. And about the 10-yard lines, he comes from off of the field. I mean, just T-bones this guy, just lays him out, gets up, runs back, sits down on the bench. It's as if, well, nobody will know what happened. But somebody was videoing, because there's a video of it. The very next week, and this will really date some of you. Some of you will be like, what in the world is he talking about? Some of you are going to go, oh, yeah. The very next week, they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. So if you know what I'm talking about, you're old. You're old. And so they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, and Ed Sullivan had him sitting there, and he asked Tommy Lewis, he said, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? And Tommy Lewis, the Alabama player, he said this. This was his statement. I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, I was so full of Bama. I just got so full of Bama. That was his team. I was so full of Bama. He said, I couldn't stand to see that happen. And he said, I just felt like somebody needed to do something. And so he did. He did. I don't know of anything else he's known for in history. But he's known for this because he decided somebody needs to do something. I'm going to do something about this. And he did it. Even if it was wrong, I'd rather see somebody doing something for the Lord and doing it wrong than somebody not doing anything at all. And so many times our thoughts are this, and our statement is this, well, somebody ought to do something. Well, how about us? How about us? There's people dying and going to hell that you know. You have family members that are dying and going to hell. You have family members that aren't living for God. You have friends that aren't living for God. You have people that live next to you that aren't going to church this morning. Somebody needs to do something, all right. How about us? Amen. How about us? That's what we're trying to do at Calvary. We want to reach people. I want to reach our community. We're 2,900 people in Eufaula, 2,700 people in Shakota, and we live right between the two. The only thing Shakota has is that's where Carrie Underwood's from, and that really doesn't do anything for me at all. But that is their idol. That is their idol. But they need Jesus. And so we're right between the two towns trying to reach them. We run a bus to both towns. We run a bus out the highway we're on. There's a lot of kids out there too. We're bringing kids in. God's letting us work with men. God's given us a ministry and a place. We've got dormitories that'll sleep 200, 100 men and 100 ladies. God's given us the facilities to do stuff. We want to do more for him. And that ought to be our desire. This is missions time, missions month for y'all. That ought to be your desire. What more can I do? What more can I do? And if you think it's all about money, you're not listening very good. It is about money, but it's also about us. It's also about us. Because too many times, if we're not careful, we'll get to where, well, I'm going to put my money in the plate, but that's all I'm going to do. And he asks a little more than that from us. Not just our money. Oh, it takes money to reach souls, but it also takes people to reach souls. And it takes people to reach people. And so maybe this little story would help you today to realize somebody needs to do something, all right. And that somebody's just me and you. And we ought to be doing something for him.